Hollywood Already Did It, your movie podcast for reboots, remakes, sequels, adaptations, and questioning why we continue to retell these same stories for time and time and time again, forever and ever, possibly, until every theme park has all of its rides relevant again. As always, I'm your host, Blake Schultz, and with me is Terrence Tatum.
Hello, everyone.
And this week we are talking about the fourth and the most recent iteration of Planet of the Apes, the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, which I didn't know this until today, thanks to the books, is in fact one of the longest running science fiction franchises in film and across all of its other areas, and now a $2 billion franchise against a $500 million total budget. So those apes, they're going to keep coming. I just love that somebody somewhere many years ago was like, hear me out. What if the planet was apes? And we've just been vibing with that.
I like what you're on. I like
the whole time. Like, it's so funny because the titles get so long. It's like the one franchise we don't complain about that. Every other one, we're like, can we figure something else out?
It's a bit excessive.
It always has to end with Planet of the Apes. We can never just be like the Kingdom of the Apes. We know it's the apes.
That part's a given.
Yeah, that's given. It's a given.
We see them.
Yeah, it's never not been their planet. And here we are now, the fourth one. We're back after our last outing with Woody Harrelson and the death of Caesar and a wonderful end to Matt Reeves' run. Yeah. So, Terrence, take us away. How did you feel about the start of our good friend, not our good friend, we don't know him, of Wes Ball's outing as...
No, me and Wes. It's funny, based on what you just said, I feel like the Planet of the Apes series is what Universal thinks Jurassic Park is, as far as the sci-fi. Like, they think that's what they have, and these apes films keep coming out, especially these last four keep coming out, and they're all really solid. Some are home runs, some are like a grand slam, but they're all like really solid efforts, and this has sort of become the best sci-fi franchise that we've had in the last decade, which is impressive. It's a movie, like you said, about apes, which is pretty fascinating. I love this franchise, like that trilogy, the two Matt Reeves and the Rise is starting to, oddly enough, get a weird little thing via Twitter saying it's not as good. Rise is freaking fantastic.
It always does. Every 10 years, we decide whatever movie was 10 or 15 years
ago.
We
like it now. Yeah.
For a while, the Spider-Man movies were bad. Now they're good again. I'm sure that the X-Men movies are about to have their day. We do this all the time.
Song and dance all the time. And so I genuinely love those. And those last two are phenomenal. And so this one had a harder curve for me because I love that trilogy so much. And obviously, it's our first time not having Andy Serkis and slash Caesar. And then it didn't help that this movie opens with us putting to bed Caesar. I was like, I don't know if this is how you want this to begin, because you don't want to remind me of that character. And I think for me, that is what does a bit of a disservice to this film. Let me talk about the goods. I think this movie does a really good job of positing the idea of what if you had this larger than life deity. Let's treat Caesar as if he was Jesus. That's kind of what they do in here. They allude to that a little bit. And from that, you get a lot of people who take his word or what he was saying or what he was putting out there. And 300 years later, they have diluted that and played a wild game of telephone that it is no longer what it once was. Some people think of it, it means this. Some people think it means, hey, we need to kill all humans. People say, hey, humans and us should live together. But they've all sort of created these different factions. And I think for me, that was the most fascinating piece of this movie, is that we sort of got to see what becomes of the apes if they sort of all live their reign sort of unchecked, and they all kind of form their own versions. We got the Eagle Clan, which is cool. They can talk to eagles. We got versions here. So it's fascinating to sort of see that. And I like the idea of positing that sort of question, is like, hey, if Caesar's not here, what does his philosophical ideas become once we start getting up there, years away, removed from it? And somewhere in the first act of this movie, I was like, I don't think, Noah is not a strong enough of a character. I don't connect to him enough in the way that I connected to Caesar in the last two. And then even the first one, because even when Caesar was a baby, I had more of an interaction with him and a connection with him than I have in any of Noah. And a lot of that is because I don't think when this film is over from start to finish, Noah has grown. He's the same person at the beginning of that film as he is at the end, just now with an idea of like, maybe Caesar wasn't right. That's the only thing that sort of changed. But he felt that way sort of when he gets that information halfway during the film. And so I spent this entire movie like, oh, this thing looks beautiful. There are pieces of this that are great. I think Proximus is a pretty solid villain. But when I'm introduced to both Noah and to Nova/May, neither of those characters who are sort of supposed to be the person that I'm focusing on for the apes and the person that I'm focusing on for the humans are strong enough for me to thoroughly enjoy this in the way that I enjoy any of the previous three. I still really like it. I still like, I will come to this world whenever I can, I think, but I just feel like this is a step down in both direction and sort of script, because I think positing the idea of what that means with the Caesar stuff is a good idea, but it never really dives deep into it. And that's where I sort of felt like, oh, we do the surface level stuff of this, but we don't get into it. We show, hey, there's photos of what the humans did to the apes at that point in time. But we spent about 40 minutes of just sort of establishing the world of what Noah is in, that by the time that we're off to the races, a lot of that time could have been spent on delving more into what all these factions sort of believe, the true essence of what Caesar means to them. And same way with May. And so I walked out like, this is good. This is a solid base hit. But I feel like this movie is more of a bridge to what is to come next than it is necessarily the next chapter, like
a pilot.
It feels like a pilot episode to something that's going to be so much bigger, like when the humans finally do start sort of galvanizing together. That's the movie that I want to see, and this is kind of like, oh, this is a cool little appetizer before we get there.
I agree. I really enjoyed it. I seem to have enjoyed it more than some of our friends did, but it did take some time for me to really connect, and I think part of that for me was, in a weird way, the lack of any human characters for a while. I almost kind of had the Lion King live action vibe for a minute, where I just was like, yeah, I know. There's also something about kicking off with so much action, and I don't really have any context for anybody yet, that I don't care as much. It felt very, I don't know, when you see like a burning house in a Disney movie and someone gives away the child and then we're immediately out of there. You don't really, outside of your natural empathy for caring about a burning house, you don't have any context for these characters or these people or any of that.
Right.
Story's about to begin. We spent so much time doing that and sort of hammering in this almost more of a fantasy film structure of like, you're going to leave your area and meet your mentor and learn all of this old stuff and then become your person. And it was interesting because I was just having a conversation with my roommate about science fiction versus fantasy, and where we really came to, like, looking it up, because we had our own ideas, right. But a lot of, you know, journals, I guess, really say like science fiction ultimately is the introduction of new technology and it either threatening our way of life, and then we either have to destroy it or rework it, where fantasy is usually the magic is introduced.
Right.
But sort of when you look at those structures, it's either a like Star Wars or Lord of the Rings hero's journey is more in fantasy. You leave, you meet somebody. Mm-hmm. And even in Star Wars, when they're like, why is this fantasy? It's like, well, there's no technology introduced to that world. Magic is what's introduced to Luke Skywalker. And we're going to go fight the new technology. But really, the new thing he's learning about is the Force.
Mm-hmm.
Where like the Matrix is learning about this new technology.
Right.
Or Terminator or what have you. So it was interesting to almost have that and then introduce old technology as new. And I think that kind of weird like blend of genre is sort of why it also took me a minute to find its legs. Because outside of all the like theological, what did Caesar say? What did he mean? All that stuff, which is really good and does work really well. And is something, to the best of my knowledge, we've never done in one of these apes movies. It kind of made the MacGuffin and the story take its time to get going. And even once it does, we're sort of left with Nova being like, well, there's this book. It's like a book and it's going to help humans talk again. you'll see. We just can't have Proximus get it. And I sort of was very unclear for a while as if she's just talking about, we don't want him to get all these weapons, or if there really was an actual cure to the disease, or if she just meant like there's history. Mm-hmm. It was never quite clear. So I kept sort of trying to struggle with like, well, yeah, what is really being introduced or reintroduced into this universe?
Yeah. Like all I could really gather from her is just like, hey, we just want another chance at that. We just want another chance to be the primary folks here on this planet. Be damned of what that sort of means to you all. And it, but yeah, it's never really clear. I like the concept of Proxima having sort of keeping a human in tow, but hey, I need you to read this to me. Like that's fast. That's
a really awesome.
Cool thing. Like, hey, I got to keep one alive. And if I have two, I don't need two. One of you guys I can kill off now.
It was also great that he was reading like Roman history and also sort of like misinterpreting that and then trying to sort of have this like Roman kingdom empire and sort of having everyone try to work in that unity, but also completely missing the point.
Yeah.
I thought that was a good parallel for what he's doing with Caesar. But it is, it's like you said, almost everything's on the surface. And then we just start throwing shit into that of like, we're going to have the religion of Caesar, who is probably the most right, but they're also like dying, which I sort of was like, well, this there's should like, definitely be more because they're correct.
There's like one person left and he's the only one waving that flag. And they're like, well, so much for him.
And he's then we have Proximus, who's basically just using Apes Together Strong to be like, if all of you work together, you can open my door and then I can rule the planet.
Yeah.
And then I'll learn everything. A lot of weird stuff with like space that we didn't really talk about. They find planets and look through telescopes and all this other stuff.
It seems like in the last shot, he sees that there's a satellite in the air, but he doesn't really know what the hell. He has no context for what the hell that means. He's just like, there's something up there. Yeah.
And then we start adding in like, oh, the apes used to be in the zoo and they used to be in cages and we don't, should we be regressing back to that? And then Nova has her, well, this was all human stuff, so it should be ours, which is also, you know, great. A lot of like really relevant themes to like right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it never picked one.
No.
So it sort of took.
Just like positing all of these ideas, but never really takes a stance. And that's where it got sort of got muddy for me. Because I'm like, well, who? Noah clearly is our lead character in this, but who, someone needs to have a stand that I'm fully behind. I can't have three things that are positive to me. And I'm like, well, they're all right. Cause that's not a good, that doesn't make for a good film.
Cause that's also sort of what they do. Cause even at the very end, when Nova, spoilers, shows up at the new camp and he's like, do you think we can live together? I trusted you so many times. And then we just see the gun behind her back. I was like, oh, so she also learned nothing. No one's learned anything from this experience.
I was sitting there like, that's a great shot. But now I'm sitting here like, oh, cool. This entire movie was kind of useless because no one has grown. They are all the same person they were at the very beginning.
Yeah. And it sort of starts like a pilot does. It ends at its most interesting point where I was like, oh, there's this underground government of people
and now they're talking
trying
to
connect to other states. This is awesome. Like we just... It's very reminiscent almost of like the Fallout TV show, which is also a very old piece of media from what it's adapted from. But I was like, what a weird time that we just have two stories with vaults and big vaults and people underground. And what are we going to do? Because, they really put so many pieces in place. But even like Proximus's people don't really seem to have like a tangible thing they connect to. Like Koga had people who agreed with him, and Caesar had people who agreed with him, and then the humans were always sort of divided too, of like, well, we should be doing this and we should be doing this, and in this one it almost felt like there were just sort of three points of view, and at the end everybody was like, hey, you know what, maybe no one's right. And I was like, well, that's a weird stance to end on when we spent three whole movies basically being like, there actually is a correct answer, it's Caesar's way, and he's doing his best to get it there. And what's actually messing the game up is everyone else not playing by that rule.
He's trying to get everybody on this, like, hey, we can all be here. And everybody else is like, nope, nope. And now we're just all doing this nope, nope. and no one's listening to, there's no one here to sort of wave that flag for Caesar. I think the character that also just, like, William H. Macy also makes it more confusing because he's kind of just in the middle too. It's like, well, this is just what I got to do. And I'm like, I don't, why is he in this movie? Like, why is he here?
Yeah, you could have cut like 10 minutes out of that intro and given everybody 5 more minutes to really hammer in what they're about and why their cause is important.
Yeah.
Because outside of Noah's cause of just, I have to go save my people, I'll figure out the rest later. And I guess Nova's overall help people again.
Yeah, I think the problem with Nova's story is that we don't get her rationale until like the last 5 minutes. Like, oh, there's an underground bunker. Well, that would have been a slightly useful more information to at least let me understand where her brain is going and why she's so easy to turn on the people who continuously keep saving her. Like, these apes have saved her at least 3 times in this film, but she does not have sort of any type of onus to connect to them. She's like, she is still all about her humans. That would have been useful information to have. But for me, my biggest takeaway is like, both for Nova May and Noah, I have more connection with almost all the apes, including Koba in the previous films, than I do to any of them outside of probably Proximus. Proximus is the only one that I have. I think Kevin Durant does a really good job as Proximus.
Well, he's the only one with an active philosophy. Everyone else is sort of like passively trying to be like, what's right, what's wrong.
Yeah.
And I think the difference in the other three, the past trilogy, and even some of the earlier like books and earlier movies, is that everyone had a very quick,
this is
actionable stance.
Yeah.
They're really outside of whenever you introduced a new person to be like, oh, I don't know, which is sort of what makes Rise of the, or, Dawn, the second one, Dawn of the Apes, I think makes that one the strongest, is you're constantly having people introduced who are like, well, I'm not too sure, but something needs to happen immediately.
Correct.
And sort of instead of this like, well, what's going to happen if he gets in there? And then what are you guys going to do if you win? And what if, like, what if that we sort of already posited in the first trilogy quickly of, but even then we sort of did like an X-Men 97 stance on it, where they were just sort of like, yeah, if the apes are next, we're done. And we don't want to do that. So get them.
Yeah.
And then people were like, no, we have to live in peace. We'll defend it. And then you had conflict. that's how you do it. Which is funny because like the world building is so good, the performances are so good. So many great one-on-one moments that did posit these things in an interesting way, even when Proximus is trying to sort of convert Noah to his cause, and he's look out there, what do you see?
Mm-hmm.
I see stolen clans. And I was like, well, that's a great solid moment of him just being like, I've only have experienced what I've seen, and what I've seen in my lifetime is you guys showed up and took us, this other guy showed up and helped me out, and she showed up and lied to me. All I see when I look out there is you doing the same shit to them that you did to me. And I was like, that's a good philosophy and theme. And when you talk about why this franchise has been all around as long as it does, it's always sort of posited those challenging ideas of sort of outside of the fact that it's just interesting to have a spaceship land and, oh no, there's apes, and then we destroy the planet. Sort of kind of get to the original ones, which was way more like, what will life be after the Cold War and nuclear war? And what happens if you do show up, you get out of the bunker, you get out of where you are, and the world's changed, and now you need to find your role in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know, those constantly are then introducing, there's stuff under the planet, and there's here, we have to leave, and this.
Yeah.
And then this one was way more of like, what do we do when it's sort of our fault that we're in this, and the world is changing, but we can maybe stop it. And we sort of kept pushing that further and further until ultimately we died. And now this one is sort of in a weird place where all it can really do is posit, what if that happens again? But this time it's the humans.
Right. Like, it's just like, what if we reverse it? It's essentially like, this is very much the parallel to Rise, where it's just like, hey, what if the humans started to have their sort of fight back? With the thought of, hey, this all began in this trilogy, and this, well, quadrilogy now, this all sort of started because the humans were fighting above their weight class, and they thought they were coming up with something to cure dementia, and thus have sort of created this. They are the victim of their own folly. now they're trying to sort of return to that, and that's sort of the story. And it almost acts as a one-to-one, which is why I think a lot of folks, me included, think that whatever comes after this might be the better of this. And I might appreciate this film more once they all come together. Although I walked out of Rise out the gate loving that movie.
Yeah.
That's not so much the case here. But after seeing Dawn and War, Rise is even better for me. Like, they come together as a pretty phenomenal trilogy.
Yeah. There's something about the movie that stands on its own and launches. Yeah. And then there's something about the movie that's, you know, we're in an interesting place with this because we're not really rebooting it. Mm-hmm. It is a requel, but it's such a far in the future. It's not even a requel. It's a direct sequel.
It's a direct sequel.
But we're now so far in the future and we're sort of asking more questions than we are answering. Because even I sort of caught myself every now and then being like, so did the apes just ignore all the technology
that
around
was already
us?
In present? Right. They just let all of that go.
Because even when we get to the Eagle Clan and they're climbing and getting eggs and these are the rules and we're so attuned to nature and all this stuff, a part of me was like, but the older guys, when we ended this, they were like down with like guns and this. And
yeah. And like, if they're speaking and they're reading, something, it didn't take me out, but I was just like, wait, what? Is that when they saw the zebras and had no clue what they were? I'm like, so you're telling me in 300 years, you've never come across a black and white horse before and had nothing to sort of, that's odd to me.
It also sort of makes you wonder about their progress. Like, I get, because they don't really tell us. They just say several generations. Mm-hmm. So I was sort of trying to do the like fake math where I was like, okay, I guess if you take the dawn of human civilization, it took us however many eras to get to where the apes are. And then it was like, what? The Crusades, the Industrial Revolution, technology. Mm-hmm. I was like, so in theory, they should be closer to like the 1960s apes who are like mm-hmm. in it.
Right.
More than this.
Yeah, they
because it almost
still behind.
It also, I was also trying to like, and I'm now asking more questions than you need to, but I was like, I couldn't really remember because War was such a smaller, isolated movie. If like the rest of the world was in just as bad of a condition, or if it was like, this is an America problem. There's the apes here.
We've spent, and that's a part of this.
Europe's series. Doing great.
That's a part of this franchise sort of conundrum too, is that the majority of it has sort of been on the San Fran, Golden Gate, that LA area. I mean, this one has, we visit the LAX, that Los Angeles International Airport. So, but we basically have kept it to California. And so we don't know what this has done to the rest of the world. And so we sort of get that posited with the satellite reach out to, I think they said Indiana is where they said those.
Yeah, satellites. They got to, yeah.
So like maybe we bridge that, because I would like to see other parts of the world, because I don't, it's weird, because in just in time, California was always sort of the forward thinking sort of state to begin with. So for them to be there and still so far behind, I'm not sure how far the other clans and rest of the country might be, but I feel like there's got to be some that are a little bit more higher elevated tech wise than where these guys are.
And I think that's almost what I wanted to see. I almost wanted more of like, Caesar was right, and humans and apes work together. They're just two sides to it, or three right. sides, or four. Like how I was almost sort of waiting for the line in the Fallout show. It's like, everybody wants to save the world. We just can't agree how. And I was right. like, I almost think that some of these themes you're positing would have been better had we seen a faction where humans and apes are working together.
Yes.
And that really there's like these guys who are behind, there's Proximus who's trying to rule, there's humans who are like, we want all of it back. And then there's people who are like, no, we sort of figured it out. And like, y'all are crazy.
You guys are nuts. Yeah. And then like, that would have been interesting. And then maybe one of those apes or one of those humans sort of infiltrate and sort of posited a bad idea into the room and sort of like create a little bit of tension within the environment. That's more telling. I would love to have seen a world where, yes, this has been working. Like, we've been good for the last decade, two, a half a century. Humans and apes, we've been living it great over here. I don't know why you guys are still fighting it out. We're past that point. That would be fascinating, because I do feel like another piece of this, there's a repetitiveness that is occurring in this series. And I think you need to sort of create, yes, we know humans and apes. We got that. Let's create a couple of more things that sort of posit new things or fold in a couple of new things so that it doesn't get stale. To have three phenomenal films and then do this, which is really good, but just to be a repetition doesn't feel like you are pushing this series forward beyond this episode. I mean, this film.
Because even like the old ones, you know, they got kind of dumb.
They got goofy.
But they still always posited something new.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of why the books and all the different adaptations have sort of worked, is that even when it gets a little like, oh, well, now we're going underneath it and now we have to escape the planet, there's sort of always a introduction of something that challenges whatever they're doing in a different way. Yeah. Where this sort of kind of just gave us the interesting idea, which is very relatable now, of like, hey, this guy said something a long time ago, and we do it with politics, we do it with religion, we do it everywhere, where it's like, but who really knows what it means anymore?
Right.
I mean, we do it with the, if you're a Catholic or Christian, people do it with the second commandment all the time. Take the Lord's name in vain. There are people who are like, yeah, you can't say God damn it. And there are people who are like, that's not what it means. It means you can't do something in the name of God. I can't do this podcast in the name of God.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, we've been doing this forever. We've been doing it in our politics with every politician. We do it sometimes weeks later with them. Like, we also do it with our Second Amendment, something about the seconds. It's so it is a fun idea that just doesn't really bring about the conflict and urgency that the other posits do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a really good, I don't know, it almost reminds me of like the second or third Matrix, where we're sitting, like we have these scenes where we're sitting around being like, well, you know, Neo, this machine makes water. I have no idea how it works, but I know why it works. But there are also machines coming to kill us. Isn't that interesting? We rely on them, yet they may destroy us. What a fascinating idea. And it's like, yeah, this is a really cool thing to posit, but it doesn't really...
You're not moving.
But we gotta get on that highway.
Right. No, nothing's moving. Yeah.
This is a great sleepover conversation, reading a philosophy book. Yeah.
Let's go do this crazy action sequence. Yeah.
It did make me think he'll handle the Legend of Zelda movie very well, though. Because I was like, I think this could be cool now.
I think this could be cool. Yeah. I think scale, he's got scale down. He's got even the sequence once the dam breaks, that whole thing in there, it's pretty cool to watch. It gets a little weird because you're dealing with two CGI'd apes, and so some of does get a little uncanny, but for the most part it's handled well. I think I don't think there's a direction. Matt Reeves is up here, so it's always going to be sort of, for me, a bit of a letdown, but I don't think there's a direction issue with this. I think there's a little bit, need to be a little bit more time spent on the script and the characterization. So I don't recall if Wes is also the writer on this. If he is, then yeah, there's a twofold, but I don't think he's the writer on this. I think he's just directing, which directing wise, this is a directed film.
Yeah, it's
the script bleeds a little bit.
No, it's a good movie. And we're, you know, often say that we're not here to critique the movie. What we're trying to figure out is like, hey, there's some themes we're talking about. Are they working? Are they not working? And most of them work. They just they don't really scratch as deep as you want.
I'll say this. I think this would have worked significantly better had this been the first one. If we didn't have the trilogy,
I
don't think we'd be as hard on it as we are right now.
No, I do think it's a hard act to follow. And we do that with everything. We do it with every Marvel movie, every Star Wars movie, every Halloween movie. We're always going to be like, but what about, but before?
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember how I felt back then when I first saw this for the, remember when I was younger and new, I hadn't seen three different CGI ape movies.
Yeah.
Four, if you saw the Tim Burton one in the 2000s, but it's good. It's making, I think it's projected right now to make what it's expected.
Doing like 55. Yeah. I mean, like that's the thing with these movies. These movies always sort of come out, make their money, and then just go away. No one really talks about them again until it's time for them to come back out again. That's a fascinating series to sort of do. People sort of forget about, like, oh, I forgot how great this series is. And like, oh, wait, we love these. And so you sort of get new fans all the time. This is the longest gap we've had since that trilogy. Like, that trilogy was kind of coming every 3 years. It's been 7 years, which I'm not gonna lie, didn't realize it was 7 years till we got here. I was like, wait, it's been that long? COVID took about
Oh yeah, that's because you're yeah, that COVID gap. You're like, what's happening?
Yeah.
I had the same thing where I was like, that was like a long time ago.
Like a lot of our lives, because we saw that when together, and a lot of our lives have changed since then. I'm like, well, that was a long time ago. Jesus.
Yeah, I saw Woody Harrelson do that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which
yeah,
is good.
It's doing well. Critics seem to love it. Fans seem to love it. It's got the lowest of the cinema scores, but it's not terrible.
No.
I just think the bars for those previous three are so high that this is just kind of falling a little short.
Yeah.
But I think it could retroactively, if this continues on, it could be it might get a better look, because this feels more like where Rise, Dawn, and War all felt like they had an end to each of them. This one feels more like, hey, we're about to tell into another story, which is the first time that sort of happened in the last four films.
Yeah.
And I'll be back.
Oh, I'm gonna, yeah, this is one, like most IPs that we complain about, this there's too many of them, I'm always going back to them. Don't,
yeah, this
is,
keep
this is the problem. We're like, oh, they keep doing it, but then I'm like, but I want to go.
I want more.
But that's it, guys. That's our show. We'll see you, I think, in 2 weeks for Furiosa. That's, I think, next on the docket. And
Strangers.
Right? Oh, yes. Strangers has a prequel coming out. What a fascinating thing.
So this is the world we're in.
Great. Then we will see you guys for that one next week. You can, of course, subscribe and leave us a review and follow the show on YouTube at Hollywood Already Did It, on Twitter at Hollywood ADI. And Terrence has all of our other things on YouTube, the trailer reactions, the show reviews, and everything else under the sun. And we will talk to you guys later.
Later.